Welcome to another 15 Minutes with Mark Wade.
Hi, I'm Mark Wade, editor-in-chief of Boom Studios, and I'm here with...
Daphna, editorial assistant.
And we are here today to meet a challenge at the Long Beach Convention coming up the weekend of October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. They are putting me on a panel, and they asked for suggestions for the topic, and I said, well, it's a 50-minute panel, 5-0, let's do 50 questions in 50 minutes. Get audience questions and just pepper me with questions, see how fast I can answer. Because the genius of that is that if you ask me that many questions that fast, you'll have no idea of what stupid thing that I'm going to say that I shouldn't say. It's going to be awesome. So you're going to sit there the whole time and wait for me to say something really that litigious or just infuriating. As training for this, we thought, let's do, so for a 15-minute podcast, let's do 15 questions with Mark Wade in 15 minutes, or 14 at this point. So we're going to get through as many as we can. Daphna set up an email address. We had a bunch of reader questions sent in to us. Daphna collected them. I have not seen these questions beforehand. This is true?
This is absolutely true.
I have not seen these
Mark
questions.
Mark doesn't actually check his email. That's what the...
That's true.
That's what the robots are for.
That's what the robots are for. So I've not seen the questions. I am completely unprepared. This is completely extemporaneous. There will be no camera tricks.
None. And, because, in fact, I can't edit. I don't have opposable thumbs, so I really just
true.
Like hit
really
things
don't.
With my elbows.
You're like that guy on Glee. You have no opposable thumbs anymore. And we're going to roll. So let's see if we can blow through 15 in 15 minutes. Go!
Okay, so we're going to start off with Kyle Latino. I think you know him from our forums. He asks, Dear Mark, do you think your comics help people to be better people or just more entertained? Which is great, because you're the right of irredeemable.
I know. I just, you know, do my comics help people be worse people? That would be nice. I think that any reading makes you a better person. I don't care what it is that you're reading.
Mein Kampf.
Well, whatever, okay. So, who drew that? It was, hey Ross, I have an adaptation for us.
Oh, there's manga.
Really?
Yes.
Of Mein Kampf?
Yes, I will link you to it. It'll
awesome.
Be awesome.
Great. All right, that's quite, I would hope they make people better. I would hope my comics make for better people
they're
in
certainly
general.
Educational tools.
Exactly.
Okay, the next one is from Laura the Spiffy with 2 exclamation points.
Of course.
What do you think about the place of feminism in comics fandom? Just dot, dot, dot. Just wondering.
Just
apostrophe.
Wondering.
No G.
I think that in my experience, the...
Don't mind me.
No, I know. I'm getting this glare from Daphna. No. I think that the... That women have a louder, broader, more heard voice in comics than they do in the outside world, comparatively. I really think so. I think that comics is not the boys' club it used to be. It certainly is at certain companies. It certainly isn't creatively sometimes. I mean, it's still hard to find women editing comics or women writing comics in the kind of numbers they ought to be. But if you're asking about comics fandom, I think that, you know, I think that I'm trying to find some way of not saying they've earned their place at the table, because that's the most preposterous.
Because they don't have the place at the table.
You know what I mean? I think there's a completely, I think they completely have
our money spends like everyone else's.
And I think that your voice is heard as much as anybody else's at this point. Plus, I've seen the internet, you know, nobody has to be their own gender or name on the internet anyway.
Good answer.
Not really. Good job.
For now. Yeah. No, okay. The next one is from Logan Drydell from Saskatchewan, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Comic characters from DC and Marvel lines, who do you think are the silliest, most irreverent characters or irrelevant?
Irrelevant, yeah.
Okay.
Irreverent and irrelevant are two different things.
Sorry.
Okay.
Irrelevant character that keeps getting a home in a book or a team, and briefly why.
The single most irrelevant character who keeps getting a place in comics... In comics teams is Wonder Woman, actually. And I
say
this,
gonna say Wolverine.
No. I love Wonder Woman as much as anybody, but talk about a character who should have stopped being published in 1948 when the creator died, because I like Wonder Woman. I think people have done great stuff with Wonder Woman. Gail Simone does a great Wonder Woman book. I can't write Wonder Woman worth a darn, because I don't get her at all. But I do also know that the original Wonder Woman concept and the original Wonder Woman series was about sexual gender politics. That's what it was about. Sexual gender politics is redundant, but you know what I mean. It was about gender politics, and it had a very heavy fetishistic, sort of sexual, but dolled up to not look like it was terribly offensive.
Sugarfoot.
Way of doing it. Well, you know, people getting tied up all the time and stuff. And it was...
It was subtle, is what you're saying.
Well, the thing is, it kind of went under people's radar. And I think that until you... And this is basically the topic of a whole other podcast I could do on this. But I think until somebody sits down and finds a way to update that sexual politics message for the 21st century in such a way where Warner Brothers, who owns DC Comics, doesn't lose their minds over what you're saying, then I don't think I think Wonder Woman continues to be a great character and a great role model for young girls, and that's awesome, but I'm not sure how relevant she is.
Role model in spangly pants. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The next one is from Lee Webb. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Impulse wearing the Kid Flash costume? I'm sure you love questions.
I get this question all the time, actually. The Kid Flash costume is one of the single greatest comic book costumes ever. It's probably the best superhero costume of all time. So I'm for it.
Okay. The next one is from Clem Clambake, which is possibly
really?
The best fake name ever.
Oh, the Boston Clambake?
I was like, oh, no, I know him. I grew up with him.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm making fun of your best friend's name.
that's probably what he is, his name, and now I feel bad. So.
Awesome name. Yep. Superhero name. Mark, has there been a character that you created for another company as work for hire that you ended up liking so much that you wished you had held on to the idea and used it in your own work so that you had legal ownership over the character?
Yes, actually. How do I answer this one? Because this
are
one,
you actually thinking about it?
There was no...
Because that'll defeat the purpose.
All I can say, there was one moment I had this past weekend. We can talk more about this in 6 months.
Okay.
Come back to this question in 6 months but the answer right now is I was writing something this very weekend for another company. And 2/3 of the way through the script, it suddenly occurred to me, you know what, if I just change this character's name to somebody else, nothing else about this property has any connection with that company at all. I could have just made this my own. If I just done that. But no, I wasn't that smart. I got to get smarter about this stuff.
You just like gave him like this like existential crisis moment right now.
I know. Look at the
Clam-clam-bake.
Clam-clam-bake and the fear on my face. Exactly.
Okay, so the next one I've cut down a little because it was a page and a half.
Yeah.
Basically, what's the best way for a writer to get discovered in the comic book biz since most companies don't accept writing material?
Web comics. Flatly, web comics. That's
it. You can't draw?
If you can't draw, go to a number of websites. Go to look up C.B. Cebulski, C-E-B-U-L-S-K-I, C.B. Cebulski, who is the talent coordinator at Marvel. He has a web page. If you Google it, his name, you'll find it. And on his web page, he has all the links to all the internet sites where artists are looking for writers.
Heard it here first.
Go there.
Okay. From Isaac Cole. What are your inspirations for the ensembles and Irredeemable? Anyone except the Plutonian?
My inspiration for Cubit was David Tennant as Doctor Who. That's pretty obvious, you know. And my inspiration for the twins, I have no idea. There are twins in everything I do. I don't know why that is. I never had a twin. I never wanted a twin.
Of you.
I know, but there's something about like, twins are in The Unknown. Twins are in Irredeemable. Were in Crux, that fabulously Eisner losing book I did for CrossGen. Twins were part of one of my favorite series growing up, The Atomic Knights, which was a series that DC did. It had twins in it. I dig the twins. So that's my inspiration.
That's the inspiration.
The Atomic Knights. Actually, that's my inspiration for Irredeemable and the twins, The Atomic Knights. Do you know why it was Scylla who died and not Charybdis?
Why?
It's a true story. Because as I got into that story, I could have killed either one of them. And I realized that you can call Charybdis Carrie as a nickname, and that sounds okay. Scylla has no nickname.
It'd be like Psy.
And I got tired of saying Scylla. I got tired of having people say Scylla because it's a dumb name. So he died because he had the worst name.
The saddest thing I've ever heard.
I know. He didn't deserve that. It's not his fault. He didn't pick the name.
In the Grant Morrison universe where you're actually drawing this from through psychic connection.
Yeah.
Poor
Scylla.
Okay. Why are Legion fans so cranky? For a comic book that's set in the future, it's odd how so many of its fans are set in the past, from Ron Miller.
Oh, good question. It's many Legion fans are set very firmly in the past. And the number one fan of Legion in the world is Paul Levitz. The number two Legion fan in the world is me. Everybody else takes third place or lower. So I understand. And yes, we are cranky, but I think it's because we keep getting history yanked around, and I've been part of that. But we keep, like, every time you think you get a head of steam working up with continuity in Legion, somebody comes along and paves over it again. You know, I did it a couple of times for good reasons, because I was just trying to get people to pay attention to the book. But I get it. It's not the same Legion as I grew up with. It breaks my heart. I also am cranky.
He's got the saddest face on right
now. I do.
Now.
I know.
Okay. I've really enjoyed your recent detective mystery stories, Unknown and Potter's Field.
Any next question, please. Thank you.
For
that's good.
Another.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Nancy. Am
no,
I moving on?
No, any
am
plans
really?
For another? No, any plans for another period mystery
like
of Ruse?
Ruse.
Period mysteries are a bitch to write. Period mysteries like
that's
Ruse.
Getting edited.
They were a pain in the butt to write. Period mysteries are a pain to write because even with Ruse, I had to keep a dictionary of a thesaurus of obscure words and antiquated phrases at my desktop at any time, just so I could dig into that and find archaic ways to say things to give it some verisimilitude. I have a hard enough time just coming up with a mystery part. My God, trying to set it in a historical period.
Think about it this way. You don't have any cell phones to
which is the biggest
diffuse tension.
The single biggest problem writing mysteries is that technology keeps scooting. If you look at any Columbo mystery ever, they could all fall apart after the first 4 minutes if cell phones had existed.
Good question, Nancy.
Yes.
Okay. What did you enjoy most about working with Kurt Swan from Billy Hogan?
Kurt Swan. Question
yeah.
from Billy Hogan.
Yeah, sorry. Kurt Swan, Billy Hogan. Billy is his second middle name.
Thank you, I know. Kurt was the Superman artist of the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kurt passed away about 10 years ago, and he was an enormously terrific artist and my favorite comic book artist of all time. And there are probably, with the possible exception of Carl Barks, it's entirely likely that more people on Earth have seen Kurt Swan comic book pages than any other artist who ever lived. Because he drew Superman, which was distributed to, 65 countries for 4 years. So people know Kurt Swan's work. He brought a humanity to his work. It wasn't always the most dynamic stuff in the world, but there was a humanity and an expression to it. And he could draw anything. I mean, there was just a reality to what he drew that made you feel like you were part of that world. It didn't feel alien. It was a very immersive experience. It really is kind of like walking out your door, and it's that world except Superman's in it. So he was great.
That's a pretty good reason. There's one more question from Billy.
He was also a phenomenal artist in that he could do something that I've never seen anybody do before since, with the exception of Kyle Baker. And that is that he was so adept at drawing Superman after 40 years that one time I asked him to draw one for me while he was in my editorial office because I needed a pinup. And so he started. It's amazing.
It's amazing. So you could just walk out and, hey, Kurt Swan, draw me Superman.
Draw me Superman for me.
Go get lunch.
And instead, I stood there and watched him. And he knew where the bottom line of the panel was because it was like for a pinup. So he knew where the bottom of the drawing was going to be. He put his pencil at the top of the page and just started drawing Superman. Without any sort of understructure, without any sort of skeleton, without any sort of rough sketch, he just started drawing Superman, knowing that the feet were going to be where they needed to be, even though he was just drawing the top of the head. That's how many times he'd drawn Superman. He knew where to start, if that makes any sense. And then, sure enough, when he got to the bottom of the page, the feet were exactly standing on the bottom of the page where they needed to be.
I don't know if that's horrific or beautiful.
It's really kind of beautiful. It's like, that's what a virtuoso performance. It's like, it's like spontaneously playing a song for exactly 3 minutes and 15 seconds or something like that, and getting it exactly right.
See, I'm just picturing this poor guy tied to a desk and people just go, hey, draw me Superman.
Draw me Superman.
One more from Billy Hogan, and that is, how many months were in the Kryptonian calendar? What were their names, and how many days in each month?
There were 6 months in the Kryptonian calendar. What are they teaching you people? Jeez, there were 6 months in the Kryptonian calendar. There were 73 days in every month. And the months, you may have stumped the band, Billy. You may get your prize. I remember Eorx was one. It's been so long since I've done this. Because Superman was born on the 35th of Eorx in the year 9998 on the Kryptonian calendar. Look, Daphne just shot soda out her nose. And
can you say that phrase again, please?
I can't remember. 35th of Eorx in the year 9998.
How do you spell
Eorx? E-O-R-X. How else would you spell it? Jeez. I can no longer remember the other 5 Kryptonian months, and that is a sad, sad moment, and it is something that I will fix as soon as we get off the podcast.
Always edit it in.
That's cheating. Hey, look, we're 15 minutes already. How many questions did we get?
We can fit in one more.
All right, one more.
Okay.
Yeah, do one
and
more.
This is mainly performance art. Basically.
like the previous 15 minutes
I've
knocked
in. We're going to give you extra time on this podcast, guys, because I think this is awesome.
All right.
Upon finishing, this is from Glenn Ebe.
All right.
Upon finishing a nightly dog walk and another rousing 15 minutes with Wade podcast, I entered my home and I thought I heard Mark's voice now coming from my TV. It was, in fact, a program in the making of National Lampoon's Animal House. And an actor playing Hoover, James Widows, was speaking. The question for Mark is, have you or others ever realized a similarity between your voice and Hoover's? Could you recite the I Pledge Allegiance to the Frat speech from Animal House to confirm this for your many listeners? Thanks.
If only I could, and yet I don't know it by heart unless he's got it right there. He's got it right there.
Look
at that.
Glenn, the things I do for you.
That's right there. Where are we?
Here. End here.
Okay. I state your name. Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat with liberty and fraternity for all. How was that?
One more.
Amen.
Amen.
Cool.
Thank you, Glenn.
Do I get my residual check?
Yes, totally. We're actually going to keep in the podcast because of copyright reasons. And this was just a secret plan to make you dance. But yes, wow.
All right, so we got like 7 questions in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I've got some heavy lifting to do ahead. I have some hot training to do. So if anybody else has any, the email address is still up,
yes,
right?
Yes, and we can still keep those questions coming. I'll keep it open. I'll keep checking them. We can always add them at the end of the podcast.
We can always add quotes. We don't have to save them up. We can always add questions to the podcast.
We don't have to talk about Wonder Woman bondage the whole time.
The whole time. So anybody has any questions, what's that email address again?
Podcast at boom-studios.com.
Good to know. Yeah. Podcast@boom-studios.com. Boom-studios.
All right.
I guess that wraps us up for this time.
Yep.
We will be back next week with another 15 minutes with Mark Wade. And we'll see you soon.
Bye.